I know.
Look at the old Nitro logo.
That was the when they came. That I got that chair. We sat ringside on that date, and Goldberg touched me as he jumped into the ring. Yeah, get out of the way.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and now I'm watching wrestling again because Goldberg's back.
I forgot we were in the midst of a professional wrestler almost.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh my gosh! Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Something Triumph, I remember. Is that right?
Can I?
No, be quiet now. Don't.
You're on.
Save it for the air.
Sorry.
Is it rolling?
Yes.
Jason, I'd like to come out right now and say the new Drake album is garbage. It's not good.
Well, that's funny because I checked the Spotify Top 50 playlist last night, and it's littered with Drake.
Well, yeah, because people are. It's 22 songs. He has 22 songs on the album, and
wow,
one is good. And it's just okay.
Oh, darn. That's a shame.
Now, Rick Ross, on the other hand, he has an album
I saw
out.
That
it's
he
fire.
Had one. I saw that he had one out.
I'm Rick Ross.
I like the new Ed Sheeran's pretty good.
I feel that same way. I feel that same way, only the exact opposite.
Have you even listened to it?
No.
Okay.
The one that he did on Jimmy Fallon with whatever they call the band there, The Roots or whatever.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Yeah, when they cram them into little... studio. Yes. They did that with Metallica.
That was a really
Inner
cool
Sandman.
One.
Yeah. That was very
oh, did they?
Yes. It was very fun.
That was the best one they did.
But yeah. I mean, I haven't seen them all, but as Chick puts it, how do you describe
when
Jimmy's
did,
show?
It's not an somebody tweeted this and I would love to give him credit but I've forgotten, but when did late night television talk show Jimmy Fallon when did he turn the Tonight Show into a fifth grade birthday party? Because it's all these stunts and water and eggs and I'm wearing headphones. What am I saying? Oh, am I cussing? Okay, all right, break it up.
Yeah, it's a little ridiculous. Oh, she's already barking.
Okay.
But the screens are open, so we're going to hear. We may hear her out here at some point, Derek. But every other show, she gets out and she starts barking because she knows we're over here at this corner of the house. She's very smart.
I batten down the hatches.
She doesn't go anywhere.
Reinforce the fence with some logs.
Sure you did.
All sports today, boys. All sports. We're gonna dicks out today. We're gonna talk about sports. That's right. Well, I already started. To celebrate that fact, the most macho music that we could come up with for today's Chick McGee show. That was your cue. Is that how this starts? I've never heard the beginning.
Oh.
Boy, his voice changed, I bet, huh? This is not kind of nice.
Look at the smile on his face.
The beginning's kind of nice. Just
weirdly proud.
They look like a couple girls on the cover.
Oh, they're pretty boys.
70 degrees out, roll the windows down.
I thought you were going to do the 70 degrees in the city. All right, ladies and gentlemen, here we go. The Cash Song's coming up. The phrase that pays is child labor. Here's Hanson. I don't know what they're saying. This is a true story. I have a cousin. I'm not in a very close family. It's just me and the dogs right now. But she is a Hanson freak. I mean, she still is following. She follows him around. Turn it up.
They're launching a world tour.
What?
Yeah, they just announced it a couple of weeks ago. Little too big to hit indie, so they're just going to go to like Vegas and Chicago, New York.
You know, we were talking about this the other day about them.
Yeah.
Stop it, Jeff.
Hit it. Nailed it.
Weren't we complaining about some act not coming to Indianapolis? Who was that?
Well, John Mayer's coming, so that's okay. Ryan Adams.
Oh, yeah, he's skipping us.
Doesn't it feel like a lot of people skip Indy? I'm not as big of a music guy as you guys.
I think it's
a function of our location.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's because we're too close to Chicago.
And Cincinnati seems to get a lot of, like Springsteen did Cincinnati.
They jump over us. A lot of times. And we eventually, we've had Springsteen, and we eventually get everybody, I would say, through the years. Mm-hmm. I mean, Red Hot Chili Peppers is coming for the first time in like 15 or 20 years. But I think it is because they hit Chicago and they'll jump over us and hit Louisville or Cincinnati, that kind of St. Louis, those kind of things happen.
Gotcha.
To us. Yeah.
That happens.
It's a shame.
We got to, and well, I don't know if it is a great facility, but I think it's pretty much like Three Rivers Stadium used to be, and Riverfront used to be in Cincinnati. It was always, that's a package. It's always those outdoor venues all look alike, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I don't know how acoustically. Although, a quick announcement, a little podcast business here. Our buddies, the East Hills, are going to be playing at the new Hi-Fi down in Fountain Square on April 29th, celebrating their fifth anniversary as a band.
Feels longer. Like they've been around quite a while, you know?
It does seem like they've always been there.
I think that was the intro to the show, by the way.
That was it?
Okay, well, you haven't done it, but
I think it's the Chick McGee Show. I'm Chick. That's Jason Hoff. Hoffsets, that's Jeff Vibbert. And our guest today is a sports broadcaster. He's from the East Coast. Ladies and gentlemen, it's our buddy, Derek, I forget his last name, Jeff, go ahead.
Schultz.
Is that right?
I think so.
Okay, Derek Schultz is here. Hi, Derek.
Hi, guys.
It's I've tried to make this argument a couple times and no one will hear me. It's pretty close. I think this is my favorite sports time of year with March Madness and the NCAA tournament.
Oh, it's great.
This and the Super Bowl.
Baseball about to start?
Yeah, baseball's.
Well.
Oh, remind me to talk about the NBA because they got a problem.
Okay.
These last two weekends are kind of equal to the first two weekends of playoff football in the NFL, I think.
Yeah, I'd agree.
The back-to-back weekends, it's tougher to get a better nine-day period.
Yep.
Than what we've just had, and then what you have those first two weekends in the NFL.
And usually
playoffs.
The weather's shaping up, yep. And daddy's making a lot of money around this time. So $20 richer, thanks to Xavier. Bless you. Bless you, boys.
He bets all the time, and it's just $5 or $6, but he keeps winning.
Yep.
But just think, you know how gamblers think. You didn't win $20. You lost the $400 you should have bet.
Exactly.
That's where you start to get into trouble.
It's not good.
I got a promotional credit to one of those sites where they're like, hey, if you talk about it on the air, you know, here's a promotional credit. And so I had nothing to lose. It was a $20 promotional credit, and I laid it all on like a Bucks-Pistons game. I think it was for the under, and the Bucks ended up the Bucks Pistons ended up going under, and then I was like, oh my God, this is awesome. I just want to totally let it ride. And my wife's like, what the hell are you doing? Take that money out right now.
Here's my question. Why did you let her know, Derek?
I've got
money in Vegas right now. Well, wife doesn't know about it.
I think she said, why are we watching the Bucks Pistons? I think that's how it popped up.
Shut up. You know I've always loved the Pistons.
Yeah. When I put money into the account, it was two Christmases ago, and it was during the bowl season. And it was like 10:30 at night, and I was like, yeah, we really need to watch this bowl with my previous administration. And she's like, wow, you're a really big Louisville Cardinals fan. I was like, yeah, love the team. The way the coach whips them into shape. It's great.
It's literally the only reason to watch those crappy bowls is the Vegas impact of it.
So who do we who do you like? Who's left? Kansas, I guess. Is that?
Geez, Arizona's out now. So that was a really sexy pick. I don't know about you guys. I had them in my title game. I've picked Arizona like a dozen times over the last 10 years, and they always burn me.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. When was the last time they went to like the Final Four?
Oh, one. Yeah. It's been a while.
But it's like Villanova. Villanova flamed out quite a few years, but then they got through last year. They look like a champion again this year.
And Duke, people are on Duke. Duke's out. So I think basically Carolina and Kansas are the two. And I think at this point you got to say, hey, Gonzaga.
No,
right?
UCLA. UCLA, the ball boy. That's right.
He can only take them so far.
Ball Their road gentlemen. Is so tough, too. They got to beat UK and then beat probably Carolina just to get to the Final Four. Yeah. So
I think Wisconsin.
I have UCLA. You and your Big Ten bias.
No. Butler and Wisconsin are who I have money on to win it all. Just because they're a little bit longer odds, so you make a little more money.
That's not a bad play, yeah.
But Wisconsin, there's something to be said about senior leadership. Generally gets a team pretty far. And Wisconsin had that when they went to the final game.
Somebody was
five
making
years ago, four
that
years ago.
Point on ESPN the other day. It's like some of these guys are 25, 26-year-old seniors.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Out there They've been there forever.
Showalter feels
that
like
Bronson,
it.
Bronson Koenig's been there
he
forever.
Was so good as a freshman.
Well, how funny is that? I mean, when you were at Purdue, what, early 90s, right? Like 94, 90, 93, 94?
91 to 95.
Yeah. If I would have told you 25 years later that Wisconsin would be like the gold standard right. of Big Ten basketball right, and
yeah.
football,
yeah.
you would have laughed me out of the room, right?
Absolutely.
They were a doormat forever.
Them and Northwestern were your two gimmies yeah. every year.
Horrible.
Yep.
I wanted Northwestern to.
Oh, I know. they won a game, so that was pretty cool.
Just because of JLD.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
She gets younger and younger. That fine wine.
This is the first time.
You know who is obsessed with her to like a stalker like level is Query.
Oh, is he?
Oh, yeah. Really?
Yeah.
I had no idea. What was that name again?
Jay Query.
Oh,
yes.
All right.
Well, you she's know, like a.
You know, I'm going to do
she
that.
She came from
to
family
you when
money.
He's here. So
she's worth a lot of cash.
Yeah, because she's the Dreyfus. His her dad or grandfather. Yes, Dreyfus.
She didn't need to make a dollar.
Dreyfus drywall.
She's earned it.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Dreyfus drywall.
Okay, I had who did I pick last night? Because we have this make believe because I do football picks, but now we have this make believe where I pick the NCAA tournament, which I know nothing about, almost nothing. And I had Michigan and WVU that I missed last night, but I did get Xavier. I did it again. Smack me. I'm from Ohio. Xavier and Kansas last night, and I said on the air yesterday. Here's my final Elite Eight, WVU, X, Kentucky, Michigan, Florida, Baylor, North Carolina, UCLA. And somebody goes, Kentucky and UCLA play each other. You can't. And I just had the K down and I in my brain. But I would have put down KY, right?
Right.
Maybe not. I don't know. So anyway.
UK. Yeah.
UK. Oh, that would have been
UK,
good too. Thanks.
KU.
Derek. So tonight I got Florida winning and Baylor winning and North Carolina and UCLA winning.
Yeah, but against the spread, what do you have? Are you just picking
the
games?
I don't mess with the spread. I don't mess
yes,
with the
do.
Spread.
Yes, you do. You do it in football.
Okay, wait a minute. Hold it. I'm picking those. So whatever those work out to be.
See, to me, Butler's plus +7 tonight. And I know it's North Carolina, but they did this to us how many years ago, Derek? We're like, oh, yeah, they can't beat this team. They can't beat this team.
Remember, was yeah. it was
and they
it
beat
North
a bunch
Carolina
of good
where,
teams.
The, where the shot clanged off the rim and they would have won?
That was Duke.
Duke, yeah.
The first year at Lucas Oil.
Weird stat, Butler actually leads the all-time series against Carolina. They're 3-2, and they've won the last two meetings. They beat there him in go. Maui 2 years ago, and then they beat him in the Bahamas a couple years ago
how
as
many,
well.
Butler's getting 7 points. I don't know how you don't take yeah. that.
How many times did they beat...
They beat Villanova twice
Villanova
this year.
Twice. Yeah, they beat Villanova.
They had all kinds of great wins. They beat Arizona. They beat Cincinnati. They had a ton of great wins this year. Butler.
Are they that team that when the stakes are highest, that's when they play their best?
Yeah. North Carolina covers.
No way.
That we had this discussion about Purdue
two days ago. I did not say that. I did
yes,
not argue.
I, said.
I did not argue with you with Purdue.
Scott Vibbert says
I did not.
UNC covers.
Is that right?
Yes.
Is that the biggest line tonight?
7.5, I think. Is it?
It's 7. I yeah. see.
Do you
that
do
is
this,
the biggest line? Yes.
Do you have the sports app, Derek?
I have like a.
It's amazing.
CBS Daily, but I don't think they list the lines. Which sucks because ESPN even started doing
yeah,
that.
The best
ESPN
app is it. The Score. That is the best
oh, yeah?
app. Yeah, the Score. It's so good on every level.
Yeah.
Wisconsin's getting a point. South Carolina's no, that's not right. Is that right? Yeah, South Carolina's getting 3.
Jesus, you could pay me to watch that game, man.
Butler
Oregon,
7.
South Carolina.
Yeah.
Who gives a crap?
Wait,
Baylor.
Baylor. Yeah. Sorry, I got my green teams mixed up.
Baylor and Oregon, I think they're the same. They tend to have the same kind of players and same controversy. You know,
yeah, well, that
field.
Is true. Yeah.
Yeah.
Boy, Kansas, Oregon's going to be another. Kansas is going to win by 40.
Probably
again, right.
Could. Oregon's pretty athletic, much more than Purdue was.
Right. Kansas has had a 1 seed in 7 out of the last 11 years. Isn't that crazy?
You know, Kentucky is getting 2. Tonight against UCLA.
Really?
Oh. UCLA is the favorite now.
Yeah, I see 1.5. Yeah, that's crazy.
What do you think?
People aren't very high on Kentucky because, you know, they're young.
How
UCLA
do you say that?
Defensively isn't great, though.
Yeah, that ball. I think the ball gene, they don't teach defense in that thing.
Not so much. But ball and leaf and, you know, they're stacked.
Yeah.
Man, this is.
Well, Alford's a shooter.
Alford's best team.
Yeah.
Does Ball have an odd shooting motion. It's a little unconventional. It's like off the side. I played basketball with a kid named Doug Parsons, and he shot like that. It's like off his right shoulder. Instead of like this, he would take it back. And he great shooter, but it was like, what the hell?
You know who did that? Jordan Holes would do that at Indiana. Yes. He'd do that, like that old school side cocked kind of shot. I always shot with two hands. Effective. Nobody taught me how to shoot properly. My dad was more into like model trains.
Didn't you?
And so.
Didn't you win a competition?
I did, yeah. It was the 1991 St. Joseph High School Metro Area Summer Basketball Camp Knockout and Hotshot Champion. So
did you exactly add right. something to that at the end? I feel like Hotshot and Knockout. Has it always been Hotshot?
It's
and
Hotshot
knockout?
And Queen
okay.
Sweep,
right.
Jeff.
Okay.
Queen
okay.
Sweep.
Right. Yes. And you won the Bob and Tom just past fall, too.
That's right. I forgot about that when we wheeled that hoop out.
I had an old college friend from Purdue. He actually looked me up recently, and we connected, and he sent me he DM'd me going, how could you not? Because he and I played ball together. He knew I was capable of playing ball. Mm-hmm. And shooting the
is
rock.
That your, is and, that your offhanded way of saying you can shoot the rock? Is
absolutely.
That
okay. And I think I actually just said it. But he goes, how'd you not win that? And I said, well, to be fair, it would is much funnier if Derek won it.
Oh, come on.
And I said, I did. I was trying to hit the rim, but I thought at least one of them would go in. And I was 0-for when I
In shot. All fairness, I would have won if I was completely focused on the task at hand. But I had to set the whole thing up and...
Was you know, that the same show where you were chugging beers and running?
No,
the
that was like 2 days before.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
It all seems
I got
like
those
it,
two
doesn't it?
Melded together.
You drinking a beer, vomiting, and drinking more beer will be one of the last things I remember.
Mama so didn't raise awesome. No bitch.
That was the only good thing about that era of the show, by the way.
Yeah.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
You know, the one thing missing from this gigantic driveway is a hoop.
Oh, I know.
We should sink the concrete.
I'll be here. I'll be here every day.
I'm really glad you called it a hoop.
The Gorilla.
I'm not a big like when I first came out here. I went to Thanksgiving at my buddy's house in Lebanon, and he was like, "Yeah, there's a goal in the driveway. So just turn where you see the goal. It's brown house goal in the driveway." And I'm looking for a hockey goal.
Sure.
Like I'm driving around because we didn't call it back east. We called it hoop all the time. Yeah. I never heard basketball goal before I came to Indiana.
Yeah, goal's definitely more used a lot here.
Yeah,
both. Hoop and goal, but
we called a hockey net an onion sack.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think I've ever heard that sack. One.
Yeah,
you're dumb.
I didn't know
what?
You were.
It's a Boston thing.
You're so stupid.
Well, you went to Boston College. Yeah, the onion sack.
Told a girl last night I went to Boston College, and then got up. She's like, "Oh, Boston's lovely." I go, "Yeah," and I just walked away.
Do you know about this about Jeff? He's embraced the Boston scene. Boston
I don't know
college.
How. Didn't this happen during the college football playoffs or the bowls or bowl games?
Before that, but it got really big whenever Boston College played Maryland in the bowl game. The
you remember
Motor
that
City
one,
bowl?
Right?
You
of know, course. Yes. Which one? What was it called?
I think it was the Motor City Bowl. Maybe
Detroit.
No, it was like the
must have been Detroit.
It was some like knockoff of like Jiffy Lube, like some Detroit version of Jiffy Lube.
It was like 6-6 BC against 6-6 Maryland, basically.
In Boston College's defense, their defensive line is very fun to watch.
Yeah.
They have, what's his face? He's a stud. He came back for his senior year. I think Hendrickson or something like that.
You know far too much.
So he went all in
college football.
He even bought, Chick even bought him. He was buying hoodies and like, "Hey, Joe, I'll buy you a Boston College." And he bought Josh one.
I bought, no. Josh Arnold.
Yeah. Josh and him got one to.
Where are you on the movie series Fast and the Furious, Derek?
Oh, God. What are they at, like 17 of those things now?
Number 8 is coming out April 14th, and it was Josh Arnold's idea for Dem Boys, which is me and Jeff and Josh Arnold, and our alternate is Jason, but he hardly ever joins us because he's a loving husband or something. I don't know. But we have been watching one of the Fast and the Furious every Sunday because this is a long off season. For the past 7 weeks, we skipped last week. I feigned illness last week, week before last, because I couldn't stand to watch another one. And then we watched, what was 5 this past week, right?
Fast 5, yeah.
Yeah, because The Rock shows up in 5, and all of a sudden it just jumps up a notch.
And boy,
yeah.
Does he
that
show
tells
up.
You how mediocre 1 through 4, but when The Rock shows up and improves it. But we're up to number 6 this this Sunday, and we're timing it hopefully so we get done so we go to see number 8.
I saw the first one, and then I never went back again. Paul Walker had frosted tips, and I had frosted tips, so I was like, "Hey, why don't I give this a shot here?"
That's That's good.
See how this
That's
works.
You know, Derek, the Derek you see now is not the Derek he used to be.
Oh, God. I see that you've got doing something with your tongue out and the rock and roll thing. Yeah. Wearing the Notre Dame shirt or something.
And my tongue stud.
Did
and,
you go to Notre Dame?
I went to IU.
Oh, yeah.
My parents were from South Bend, so yeah. I was the Jason hates these people. I was the reversible jacket IU basketball Notre Dame football fan growing up. That was
but
the
yet I like Derek.
Me. Yeah.
That's saying a lot.
But there's more genuine people out there that truly do that.
I've asked this. I like to sit back and think because I'm old. Do you think what university in the United States has the most fans who they've never set foot on that campus?
Notre Dame.
Yeah, right? It's got to be, right?
Boston College.
Or Ohio, okay.
Ohio,
all right.
Don't
Ohio
attack State.
I think Ohio State, because kind of like the IU basketball thing, there are a lot of IU basketball fans that never went to IU.
Yeah,
if
right?
you're from Ohio, chances are you're an Ohio State fan.
Well, that's their pro team. I mean, that's
Michigan
that.
and Michigan football is a big one, too. The old Absolutely. Saying is that, I went to Michigan State, or I have this Michigan State shirt because I went to Michigan State. You have the Michigan shirt because you went to Walmart. You know what I mean? Like, that's. You just pick it up over there.
I don't know. I just,
Subway alumni. That's what they call the Notre Dame people that didn't go there. Subway alumni.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I pay attention to Ohio State, but I don't get thoroughly upset like I do when the Redskins lose. Did you see, I don't want to talk a lot about the Redskins, but wait a minute. Jason went to Purdue. Derek went to IU, yet you two are friends. Derek is a Giants fan. I'm a Redskins fan, yet Derek and I get along, sort of, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, I'd say so.
Not bad.
Cordial. Did you see the commercial gentlemanly? the top general manager candidates do not want to work for the Redskins because Dan Snyder's the owner. Oh,
sure.
I saw that report today.
Not surprised.
That's your team.
Right?
Doesn't that make you hurt a little inside?
Theismann, not to name drop. Joe Theismann.
How cool is this?
Joe Theismann sent me a text last Thursday at like 6 in the morning, and I will read it to you as soon as I find it.
Was it about Snyder?
No. He is very careful. If you'll watch games every now and then, he will be in the owner's box. So he still sits up there.
Gotcha.
So, this is 6:01 Thursday, March 16th, 6:01 a.m. Morning, Chick. As I travel around the country, people tell me all the time how much they love your guys' show. Just thought I'd say hi. Been a while. Skins aren't as bad as they look. Hope we can catch up soon. I try not to, oh, my God, thank you for texting me, Joe. shit like that. I go, absolutely, Joe. Of course, I think I have told him this, how much I used to cuss him every Sunday. Get the ball down the field, Joe. Stop fucking around. Absolutely, Joe. Good morning to you, and let's hang out soon. And then he sends me this text. Have to get you to another Skins game. And I say, oh, heck yeah.
Did you say heck?
I did say, oh, heck yeah. But my point of telling you that is he has never said any. His standard company line for Snyder is Danny. That's another story I've told on the podcast, is that when Joe Gibbs was the coach and Jack Kent Cook owned the team, Coach Gibbs always referred to him as Mr. Cook. Second time through, when Gibbs came in, it was Danny, not Mr. Snyder. It was
nice.
That's pretty, yeah. Anyway, what was I going to say about the Redskins? Help me.
If I'm helpless,
I'm just helpless. Help, I'll just give up.
Well, you were talking about how no one wants to work for manager-wise.
It's not going to change, and I'm surprised that Cousins is still the quarterback, and I thought he was going to San Francisco or more likely Los Angeles in my mind. He and Sean McVay have practically slept together while he was – anyway.
What a weird situation, huh? Where
right.
you just keep franchising him over and over again.
Cousins is the first quarterback to be franchised 2 years in a row since the invention of that process. Mm,
right.
First quarterback in the NFL to do that.
So Derek, do you have a similar experience, maybe not to the level of a Joe Theismann, but working in the sports world, have you gotten to be like, a contact? You're like, oh, my gosh, I got to
like
email
Pepper
exchange.
Johnson text you, stuff
oh,
like
yeah.
that.
Carl Banks, yeah, no big deal. I did an interview actually before I came to Fox Sports. I did an interview at an old station, like my mom and two other people listened to that old show. with when Reggie Miller did the documentary Winning Time.
Oh, yeah.
I emailed the Knicks and I was like, hey, you know, I'm in Indianapolis. I'd really like to get John Starks on the show. And they're like, sure, when do you want him?
Cool.
And John Starks calls. I grew up, as much as I love the Giants and the Yankees, I grew up just the biggest, like, throw you down a flight of stairs over the Knicks. They were my whole life. And those 90s teams, Starks and Ewing and Mason, I loved all those guys. So that was probably the biggest fanboy moment.
I didn't know that. That's cool.
Don Mattingly, I had on the show too once, and that was a big one.
Oh, Matt. Well, Mattingly's from Evansville.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. Couldn't have been a nicer guy. Yeah.
So is Ewing going to get a job as a head coach someday?
He might get the Georgetown job. That's what they're talking about.
Is that
going to
happen?
Were you surprised by that? That I heard the opinion yesterday that they were shocked that that happened while Big John was still alive.
Yeah, because you don't have to know him to know that that guy doesn't mess around. I mean, right. He's a big dude, and he still obviously looms large there. He's the reason why they're Georgetown.
Yeah, absolutely.
But they missed the tournament, I think, 3 out of the last 4 years. Mm. They flamed out against Florida Gulf Coast a couple of years ago when Florida Gulf Coast was 15.
Right. Yeah, sure.
And, you know, they're 10 years removed from that Final Four that they went to. So it'd been a long time.
Has
and
it
I think
been
it was
10 years?
Time for them to move on. That was the Roy Hibbert team.
Wow.
Went to the Final Four in 07 and played Odin and Conley and Ohio State and lost.
Man.
Who won that?
Greg Oden.
Florida.
Florida won.
Yeah, Florida. It was Florida's second one. Yep.
Okay. Oh, Billy
Donovan.
Billy Donovan, yeah.
That's right. Man, that was a long time ago.
How do you feel about Patrick Ewing coaching Georgetown?
He's like my Mickey Mantle. I still have a poster of him in the office at work.
Yeah. Well,
Madison Square Guardian.
You know that
it's like one of those really cheesy over the top 80s posters that I just had as a little kid. It was in my room. So
I was really into the Knicks Pacers series. I think everybody who lived here was at that time, and
it,
you know,
took
we just
the whole
couldn't
state.
We just couldn't get past the Knicks, and then that one series when we did, and was that the series that Ewing only scored 1 point in that one game or something like that?
It was that was early in the series at Market Square. He had a 1 point game, and then the Pacers were up 3-1, and the Knicks won games 5 and game 6 and sent it back to the Garden, and Ewing missed the finger roll that would have tied the game in game 7.
And Mark Boyle said, "Ding dong, the witch is dead."
Yeah.
What and kind of a ringtone?
That's my ringtone.
What is that?
It's like it's an alert.
It's an alert.
Is someone missing?
Could you put a year on it, Derek? And it's obviously in the 80s, I think. Well, it could be the 90s. I don't know. The best year for NBA basketball. Maybe even a range. Because the 80s were so great, but then as we were growing up, the 90s were awesome, obviously with Ewing and Jordan.
Yeah, I think the Showtime Lakers Celtics into the Bad Boy Pistons early Jordan years was probably the one that people look at
so
the most.
So late 80s, early 90s.
But this isn't a popular opinion. People shit on the NBA all the time. I think right now the league is people are as talented and as skilled as they've ever been. I mean, you've got guys on the floor that can play 4 or 5 positions. Everybody can shoot. Everybody can run. Everybody can be athletic. You know, you don't have, you know, Mark Eaton, you know, eating up the paint anymore or guys like that. I think the level of talent right now in the NBA is better than it's ever been. But that's my personal favorite era because that's what I grew up with, the late 80s into the early 90s.
The personalities were just so much better. Didn't it seem like?
Yeah. I mean, I would agree with that.
Teams had identities.
It was
too.
More spread out. I mean, now you have the super teams. So it was a little bit more spread out. And not that you didn't have, I mean, McHale, Bird, Parrish, you had great teams and guys that were all together. But it seemed like everybody had a star. Like even the Kings had Wayman Tisdale, or you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whereas now you've got the Spurs and you've got LeBron and the Cavs and you've got the Warriors and then everybody else is kind of crap.
Don't you think the NBA has a problem though right now? Like a gigantic problem with the stars sitting out and Barkley calling for the boycott for a week? Or is that just Barkley making
noise? The
whole
thing with like Barkley, and we get this from fans all the time, you know, you can't compare to LeBron because, you know, Jordan never sat out. And it's like, okay, yeah, Larry Bird walked a freaking practice in the New England snow, like, you know, 10 miles both ways. And
he did.
I think a lot of it is, you know, we look back at the era that we like and we say these guys were tougher and they didn't mess around. And while I think there's an element of truth to that, look, it's a long season. It's 82 games. Teams are going to prepare themselves the best way they can. And if guys have to sit, they have to sit. The goal for the Cavs is not to beat the Pacers in a January game. It's to win the title. Mm-hmm. So, you know, baseball guys sit all the time.
But there's people paying money for a game in January.
Yeah, I understand that. And the NBA also markets the stars. It's not Absolutely. The Pacers saying, hey, come see the Cavs. It's come see LeBron. And then if he's not there, I can understand why people are upset. I just don't know what you do to fix the problem.
Well, I don't know. I think if to Chick's point, fans are eventually going to give up on them if this keeps happening.
Well, I think like TV ratings are down 25%, and I don't know if I'm just repeating something or that's a fact, but I think that's true. But this all kind of started with Popovich and him resting those guys, and now LeBron, and they've kind of taken up. But I always remember, and I'm not sure what year it was, when the NBA was they were on strike and the season was like 50-some games long. And I remember that was like a really
– Yeah, like 5 or 6 years ago?
Yeah.
It was Spurs like a great – I think it was 2010.
Right? Spurs
like,
won.
Oh, you mean the lockout one. Lockout. 99 was
99.
That
yeah, it was like a great season. Yeah. And 82 games – But that, I guess that's the big problem that nobody's talking about is like the $1.2 billion ESPN deal or whatever. Yeah. And the players, no one's going to give any money back.
No.
But ESPN wants money back. But the players don't want to play as many games, but they don't want to give any money back on their contracts.
So nobody's going to do – I mean, this is just one of those things they're willing to put up with it because nobody's going to budge.
But I don't know how much worse – it's going to get. I mean, admittedly, I'm not a big NBA fan. I watch the playoffs, kind of by osmosis if the Pacers are involved. But, I mean, I can understand, traveling a long distance and not being able to see, LeBron's not going to play tonight or whatever. I mean, that, you know, and those are pretty expensive tickets, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
did he do it twice in a row here in Indy?
2 years in a row.
2 years in a row.
Not. Twice in the same season, which could suck. Okay. But I think maybe if there is no solution, the one compromise could be, hey, you guys need to announce this. Like, give me a week notice so fans know. Because how many people hop on StubHub 6 days before the game and buy them? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The days of buying tickets, I think 2 months out, I don't think that happens as much anymore.
No.
Well, you know, the NFL, I mean, they're so league heavy, you know, and I've never seen you think the NBA is out of control as far as the focus on the stars instead of the team. You know, I mean, the players are kind of running that league.
Yeah,
right now.
For sure. I think it's actually it could be a negative because, you know, who's going to go see the Bucks play? You know what I mean? Yeah. Who cares? I mean,
except
you
for
have
that
Greek freak.
Even I know the Greek guy. Yeah,
but they do a great job. Whereas, you know, baseball is team centric. But if you walked out on the street in Indianapolis and you asked 50 people, hey, name five baseball players right now. You know, Mike Trout could probably walk around the circle. He's like,
absolutely.
He might be on pace to be one of the greatest players ever. He could walk around in the circle and not get stopped. Yeah. So you want to market your stars a little bit. But I agree with you, Chick, that it's a little bit too much. It's not, hey, it's the Thunder and Knicks tonight. It's see Russ take on Carmelo.
Yeah.
And it's gotten away from the teams, whereas back in the 80s and 90s, it, even though the stars were huge, it was still about the teams.
What about that the MVP debate in the NBA? LeBron's kind of turned it up and said, look at my stats. And everybody, Russell Westbrook, triple-double, yada, yada.
Harden's having a James Harden. Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah. Hey, how about Kawhi and the Pacers? And never mind.
Oh, God. Yeah. You know, they've made some trades. They made a trade that I'm trying to remember. I think the name of the player was like Rick Roby. They traded a pick in the 1978 draft. They were slated before the Celtics to pick, and they ended up trading that pick that could have been used on Larry Bird.
Mm.
And then they made another trade. The Trailblazers drafted number 2 between Hakeem Olajuwon and Jordan,
right.
And they took Sam Bowie. Right, everybody remembers that.
Right.
That was the Pacers' pick. The Pacers would have had the number 2 pick before the season. They traded a player away for like some dude like Tom Owens or something. I don't know. He's working insurance somewhere probably. And that would have been, it ended up being because the Pacers were so terrible that year. It ended up being the number 2 pick. So conceivably the Pacers could have had Jordan.
Yeah. Tom Owens State Farm. Yeah. He's still in business. Yeah.
Oh, got me my renter's insurance.
It's amazing how one little thing can affect the entire league in a way.
No, you're right. And what if Portland takes Jordan? And
yep.
You know. They already had Drexler, so they felt like they were safe at that spot. But it's fun. I think any team, you can play the what-if game.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's fascinating.
Yeah. What if Gary Harris chooses Purdue, you know? stuff like that.
Well, Bill Polian had a first-round draft grade on Tom Brady, he said. So.
Oh, God. What a liar.
Yeah.
you know, I like Polian, though. I think he's honest, and I think he...
Brett.
I think now he's honest when he's on the TV, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I interviewed him once. I asked the Colts over and over and over and over again to have him on. And the Colts were notorious in the Peyton era for shutting down. They wouldn't let players on. They wouldn't let anybody on. And I think finally their old media relations guy got so sick of me emailing. They said, okay, fine. You can have Bill Polian on the show. He can do 8 minutes. And I want you to send me every question that you're going to ask him. And so I was like, oh, I feel like kind of a whore for doing this. Oh, but this is a big get. You know, yeah, Bill Polian, it's like 2008. It's the peak of the Colts.
Right.
So I sent him the questions. And one of the questions, it was something like very innocent about Edgerrin James. Like, you know, is Edgerrin James going to be in the Ring of Honor or something like that? And he writes back. He's like, yeah, all the questions are okay. Except for the Edgerrin James one. He's not interested in talking about Edge anymore. Edge is not a Colt. I'm like, dude, I just want to ask him. It's a fairly innocent question. So that was
my favorite Edgerrin James story is when he was with the Colts and he wanted to, that one corner of the locker room. He wanted to put a recliner in and a big screen TV. And I forget who said or tried to talk him out of it. I ain't gonna bother nobody. And no, it's a 60-inch TV in the locker room in one corner.
He took a cab to Terre Haute for training camp one
now,
year.
Now, are these stories or...
No, that's legit.
Is that true?
Well, the best Edge quote ever, have you heard about the Japanese, the Japan game?
No.
They played an exhibition game, preseason game in Japan, and Edge refused to go. He's like, no, I'm not going. And there was a media scrum, you know, outside, like everybody's like, oh, we got to talk to Edge. We got to get his reasoning. And he's there for player availability, and they're like, so what's the deal, Edge? Why aren't you going? He's like, man... Closest I want to get to Japan is Benihana. And he did not want to go to that preseason game.
Oh, yeah. He's
didn't mean nothing.
He's a business owner now. Mm-hmm. He owns a strip club in Miami.
Does he really?
Yeah. Yeah.
He's running these kids' peewee teams. Mm-hmm.
He's a cool dude.
He is. He's a great dude. Yeah.
Yeah. Really good dude.
More of the Chick McGee Show coming up with Derek Schultz from Fox Sports 97.5 and 1260 WNDE. That's where you can hear him every afternoon with some guy named Jake. Chick McGee Show brought to you by Stamps.com. These days, you get practically everything on demand, like our podcast, of course. That's convenience. And why are you still going to the post office then?
Why?
Your entire world spins on convenience. That's where Stamps.com comes in. Everything you can do at the post office, you can do now right from your desk, that big desk with the deer head hanging on the wall. Buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter or package using your very own computer and printer. And unlike the post office, Stamps.com never closes. You can get postage whenever you need it, 24/7. Let's say you wake up in the middle of the night. I forgot to mail that doobie-doobie to that doohickey.
Shooby-dooby.
Stamps.com. That's your, you know, the Chick McGee t-shirts are almost ready to go. All I have to do is call them and tell them what design we want and what shirts we want. And that's how close we are. And when that happens, they'll be shipped out via stamps.com right from this here printer. And right now, please use the name, the code, we're using code words, Hayseeds, McGee, M-C-G-E-E, for this special offer. A four-week trial includes postage and a digital scale. Go to stamps.com. Before you do anything else, click on the radio microphone at the top of the homepage and type in McGee. Show your love for the Chick McGee Show. That's stamps.com. Enter the code McGee. Never go to the post office again. Think about that sentence. Stamps.com, Cote Dame McGee. We'll be back with part two of the Chick McGee Show with Derek Schultz on Podcast One.
Welcome, this is a farmhouse. We have cluster flies, alas. And this time of year is bad. We are so very sorry.
I don't think I've ever heard this.
Yeah, I was telling you, Jason, that this is kind of like the Radiohead creep of Fish songs, where if you went up to a Fish fan, you were like, oh man, I love Fish. Farmhouse?
Time out.
They'd be like, what?
Time out. Are you a Fish fan?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Yeah. I like a lot of different stuff.
Crappy the only, music. Yeah.
I really love East
Crappy.
Coast.
This is terrible.
What? Oh, it's so bad.
You need like live stuff from Fish where they just jam on for 20
Jason
minutes.
Jason has very odd taste in music.
No, I don't. Crappy. You and I are very similar in our style.
That's not true at all. I kind of like this.
Chickens on the farm. I don't know what he's singing about. He's chickens on a farm? Is that what it is?
He's just kind of whining. And, hey, let's get high.
I went and saw them. You know, this year. It was great.
That's not bad. That's not bad. I like this guitar.
You know who Jason is? He's the crabby old guy.
Hi. Getting crabby. Yes.
Welcome back to the Chick McGee Show on Podcast One. I'm Chick. That's Jason. That's Jeff. Derek Schultz is our guest today. We're talking sports and Fish and Hanson and.
When we were leaving Wrigley, or when we were leaving the
Chicago,
that place, Fish was playing at Wrigley, and we almost hit a couple hippies on our way out of Chicago, just walking around.
That could be a true statement.
It was, and that was also when the guy almost stabbed us in the Escalade. Remember?
What was the name of that place? We saw Bob Schneider in that.
Oh yeah, pulled up next to us. Yeah.
In that hall.
Thalia.
Yes, Thalia. Thalia.
That was a great little venue.
The Folk Theater.
Yeah,
I would go back there and see anyone there.
That was, other than Joe Theismann texting me, as soon as Bob Schneider, remember that? As soon as he got off the stage, he texted me right away. Hey, come on back. And I mean, it was like instantaneous. Good night, everybody. it was the weirdest. Okay. What else would surprise us about Derek Schultz? I'll tell you what I know about you. You're a Giants fan. Jeez. You like Hanson.
He's a brony.
And you're a brony. A bit of a brony? Now, how did that start?
You know, to be honest.
Or is this just a funny thing
we
you do?
We were talking about, we do this segment. This is so like generic radio. We do this News of the Weird segment. The very last segment of every show.
That makes it okay, though.
And I was reading a story about how they were putting together a My Little Pony cafe in like Japan or something like that, and Jake immediately starts making fun of it, and so I just get in kind of defense mode, like, no, you know, I can kind of see why this would work, and you know, it's a very popular cartoon, and everybody starts like jumping in on it, like Schultz loves MLP, and because I grew up a triplet with two sisters who had My Little Ponies, I do have some baseline knowledge of My Little Pony characters and things like that, and ever since then, it just kind of become, you know, one of these things that we've dealt with on the show.
Right.
We haven't talked about that. You are a miracle triplet.
That's right.
Go through that story.
Miracle triplet.
How big were you when you were born?
2 pounds, 7 ounces.
Wow.
You got 2 pounds, seven
I
ounces,
got two
right?
2 pounds, 7 ounces.
Hanging
in my hand
between your legs. Okay. And there's a plaque to you guys or something?
There's a plaque. Yale New Haven Hospital in Connecticut. I haven't gone back to verify if it was there, but sometimes I'd hop in the car and be like, hey, let's go look at the plaque.
No
and,
kidding.
Yeah, go over there and they would let us in.
How old were you?
Have the ants come? You just had a new baby son who looks exactly like you.
Thanks.
I don't know.
Yeah,
I've had the chance to that picture you put up. If you put a and you should do this, put a beard on him. Looks exactly like
you. People have said that. So yeah. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
So I don't know where you are with the parenting test to see if you're the father, but it looks exactly like
I don't think I can disown him.
Have the ants come to visit yet?
No, they one of them is here now.
Oh, okay.
So my parents moved here and then my sister moved out as well, one of them. The other one's still in Connecticut, so he hasn't met Auntie Abby, but he's met Aunt Dorothy. My parents went with old school names. And my parents are in town and they're just over the moon. He's the first grandson, so they want to see him all the time and the whole deal.
Aww.
So, but it's been good. It's been a whirlwind. I don't need to tell you two about it.
No, Vibbert.
Well, I'm a dad as well, but okay, bleed me out.
Oh, that you're a puppy daddy. That's right. Well, yeah. You're a single father.
I'm a single father. Yes,
it's the toughest of all.
It is for Mother's Day. I feel left out. Some of us have to do two jobs.
Is there are there any famous Schultzes in your lineage?
You know, I don't think so. We're apparently down the line from Daniel Boone.
You're looking
really?
At it.
I don't Wait know. A
Daniel
minute.
Daniel Boone.
That's kind of famous.
Why is everybody in Connecticut moving here? What's going on? Are they just because the grandkids here or what's going on?
Yeah, and the property tax.
COL.
COL,
baby.
My dad complains about it. You know, they're retired now, so he keeps bringing up fixed income. You know, fixed
cost
income.
I'm on a fixed income right now. I can't do that.
I knew a guy, you know, 10, 12 years ago that moved from the Boston area, Connecticut, somewhere in there. And he said he came here and the house he bought was, how did he put it, like four times as big and a third of the cost. You know, some ridiculous number.
You just get a lot
that.
More bang for your buck.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a great place to grow. I mean, I love Connecticut. It was a great place to grow up, but I just don't know. I don't know how people do it out there with the taxes and everything.
With the taxes
crazy.
And the weather and the...
I mean, are salaries inflated too out
yeah.
there?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it reflects that way, but I mean, my sister, I was talking to my brother-in-law and they're out in Stratford, Connecticut, and they pay six times more property tax per year than we do, my wife and I do on our house in Indy.
That's
so
crazy.
It's nuts. Yeah.
Why is it so much more out there?
All of my...
I don't know the answer to that.
No,
yeah,
okay.
I don't know.
All of my friends other than these two are comedians, and all of those comedians, 90% of them live in Los Angeles, and when they come here, they see the house, and they go, this fucking house would be $1 million, million five in LA. And I'm like,
that's insane.
Well, people in like San Francisco living in like a 900 square foot apartment that they share with four people.
Right.
It's like, how do you live like this?
I can't imagine.
I could. I don't know if I could live with anybody anymore. I don't know. I'm so set in my ways, and
I can't even live with myself.
You know, I've been looking at that myself. Yeah. You know, we've talked about that.
Yeah, we have.
Yeah, we sure have.
132 or 123.
123. We got to do it sequentially. Okay.
So he's a brony.
He's a brony.
Or became a brony.
Triplet. I had a tongue ring. I used to wear a lot of backwards upside down visors in high school.
Yeah, how do you feel about this? Backwards upside down visor.
There is a picture of me somewhere. It might be on the Bob and Tom website. I played the brief summer that I played golf. I found that people, but this is going to get me in trouble. I didn't really care for golf because the same guys who played golf played softball and took it way too seriously.
Yeah.
Those guys.
Yep.
So I wasn't bad at golf, but it was just like I can either golf or be an alcoholic. I can't do both. So I stopped golfing. And I wore a visor. There's a picture of me with a visor and long hair and it poofing up out of the – was silly. But not upside down. I never looked at that look before. I see you in an upside down visor, Robert.
Actually, I had a Florida Gators upside down visor that I'd wear.
Tribute to Spurrier, just like Spurrier?
Yep.
Spurrier used to wear the visor.
Upside down backwards. It was cool. What is the purpose of a visor?
Let's keep the sun out of your eyes.
But why not just have a hat?
Yeah, I don't know. There was like a 6 week period in like 1999 where visors were really cool.
Yeah.
And I bought like a dozen visors and wore them every day.
Well, you know what? Spurrier was the head coach of the Redskins. He rocked the Redskins visor, man.
Belichick still wears a visor from time to time. The Eagles coach wears a visor. A lot of visors still in the NFL.
Oh, who's it? Oh, Peterson? Is that the coach of the Eagles?
I honestly could not tell you.
I think it is Doug Peterson.
You know, NFC East guys know that you can go watch a Giants game in New York. You can go to the Cowboys Stadium and watch the Cowboys play. If you're a rival, you can't go to Philly and watch the Eagles.
No.
If you go to Philly, you're going to get your ass beat. It's that way for the Redskins fans. It's the same way for the Giants.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially in the old Vet days.
It's
like a police zone over there.
Did you ever go there when they had helium? It wasn't helium balloons, but they filled them up with nitrous.
No.
Out in the parking lot, it was nitrous oxide, and you go out and buy a balloon. And
I've seen that at concerts.
No, this was at the Vet. I don't know. I think Dick Vermeil might have something to do with that now that I think about it.
I heard a story, this was a couple of years ago, but I think it was a Phillies game where a guy was there with his 9-year-old son wearing like Brave stuff, and a 27-year-old guy was arrested for literally purging himself to the point where he would throw up on the guy and his son for wearing Brave stuff in front of him. So he was like that in the stands. And they had to get the security over there.
For that guy.
In 2001, I went to opening day Braves down in Atlanta, and the craziest thing I've ever seen was Mets and Braves fans interacting. There was the craziest fight in front of us between a Mets and a Braves fan. The rivalry was amazing back then. I loved it.
I went to Wrigley once. My first time at Wrigley, in fact, this was like 10 years ago. And we're walking down from the upper, you know, we bought upper deck seats. We're walking down from the concourse and somebody's like, fight or whatever. And there were two guys just throwing haymakers at each other.
and they were both wearing Cubs Sammy Sosa jerseys. And I was like, how could this be? You're wearing the same jersey. You root for the not only do you root for the same team, you root for the same dude. And they just wanted to beat the crap out of each other. It was crazy.
Wow. What I look for are spring break beach fights. Have you watched those?
Are those on YouTube?
Oh, God, yeah. You can get lost in spring break beach fights.
I got to check it out.
Is there a wormhole of spring break like, beach fights?
I look forward to spring break every year because there's beach
fresh
fights.
Ones. Yeah.
There was one dude the other day. It's one guy takes out about 17 spring breakers. They're like all rushing him, and he's just, it's amazing.
Really?
Cops don't even go near it because the man is a bull in a China shop breaking everything. I love it. I did not
go to college, so consequently, I did not attend spring break other than I worked in West Virginia for almost 2 years, no. So maybe that was my spring break. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How did you like Bloomington?
Didn't have any fights, though.
At IU.
Bloomington was great.
Yeah.
I was just so happy to be away from my parents, I think. That really? I could have gone anywhere. I was like, yeah, I don't need you guys.
You seem so mild.
Get out of here.
You seem so mild-mannered and professional and measured. Yeah. I just don't see you as that partier.
I was just the most such a douchey dickhead, bro. You know, East Coast,
you were
asshole.
A bro,
totally, yeah,
really,
totally was that person.
Do you how did it go when your parents dropped you off? Did they actually come and drop you off at?
Yeah,
Wilmington?
We actually, my dad paid like the $25 for early move in.
Okay,
so I was the first person to move in the dorm.
He wasn't on.
No, that's right. Yeah, so I moved in that day. They were at the Union, and then I couldn't sleep in the dorms yet, so I crashed with them on like a cot in their room in the Union. And then they were like, "All right, bye." At like 7 a.m, and I was like, "Okay, I'm in Indiana by myself. I don't know anybody." So I just walked over to the dorm, and what I did was I had an old Nintendo. And I played RBI baseball, and I cranked up the volume all the way. And I was like, if people hear the theme song, then they'll come in here and want to play. And sure enough, that's how I met like people who are still my lifelong friends.
That was my next question.
Hey, dude, is that RBI baseball? Can I play?
Isn't it amazing the people you meet your first week or even day on campus are still some of your lifelong friends?
And I mean, it's because of Nintendo.
Yeah, okay. That's awesome. I love those stories.
There was a time when the Bob and Tom Show would do what we called the campus tour, and we would do a live show. It was on Thursday mornings, I think we did them. And we would be on the campus at IU, Purdue, Ball State, and IUPUI.
Mm-hmm.
And the Indiana, oh my God. We were at Nick's. We'd go down on a Wednesday night and go to whatever, like the chocolate shop and West Lafayette, mm-hmm. But then Bloomington, you go to Knicks in Bloomington. There's a Knicks in West Lafayette too, right? No?
Don't know. I think there might be one in Indy.
Harry's.
Yeah, Harry's Chocolate Shop. Yeah.
I think Knicks is its own standalone place in Bloomington.
Anyway, we were at Knicks, and they had the buckets and stuff. And your name's on the bucket. And we were – Bob and I were that's why we were having fun. Tom wasn't there. Bob and I were there, and this waitress was just, there were like, I don't know, 10 or 15 of us, and we're sitting there, and the waitress bent over beside Bob to take an order from the adjoining table, and Bob leaned over his head next to her behind and go, "Oh, I can hear the ocean." And from that, it was just that was the closest I got, I guess, to college life. And
full-on debauchery.
Full-on debauchery. Mm-hmm. And without revealing too much.
You had a good time.
A coworker of mine had trouble getting a co-ed out of his room.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently because no one wants to hear this, she was crying. So.
Oh.
Oh, wow.
It was not. This was, oh, my gosh, what, 20 years ago probably? I bet it was.
No, it had to be easily.
You guys.
No, it had to be maybe even longer than
maybe
that.
Maybe even longer. 91, I bet.
Yeah, probably early 90s.
Were you there?
No, I was not. I mean, I was at Purdue at that time, but
did not attend our broadcast.
I did
well,
not.
Well, thank you very much.
I don't
much.
Recall. Well, we really couldn't get your signal up there very well.
Is that our dirty little secret?
Well, our dorm had an antenna that we could tap into, and I remember getting it occasionally then, but they swapped the signal somewhere in the early to mid-90s.
You a Tark guy?
Tarkington.
Tark, mm-hmm. Yeah, man. Yeah, that's where it's at. My first time ever going to
200.
First time ever going to a college campus and spending the night, I was in my buddy's dorm room, and my friend was in the other bunk. All of a sudden, the door opens. Some guy walks in, lays down on the floor, turn on the light, and we look at him like, "What are you doing?" And he goes, "Oh, wrong door. I'm sorry." Gets up and just leaves. He just lay down on this tile floor to pass out.
It was college life, right?
College is awesome.
Now, IU was a little different because they, at least in the mid-90s, they had dorms where there were guys and girls in the same dorm, literally down the hall from one another.
We were sandwiched in between two all-girl floors when I was a freshman. And there was crazy. It was free access. So they, you know, I heard now you can only access your floor.
Okay.
You can go around anywhere that you want. So that was nice. You know, now that I think about it, I kind of wish that I took a little more advantage of that situation.
Yeah, it was a time in my life that went by all too fast.
Yeah.
Could you imagine? Cleaning up.
Really?
Yeah.
Crushing puss, huff and dank right there. Just
part of me wants to just enroll in school again and just say I'm 18. Like, yeah, I'm 18. Is that creepy? Does that get weird?
You could do it.
Yeah. Let's get real creepy. I could go back to high school in the past.
Okay. Let's not do that.
Derek, what's your best sport that you can, you know,
other than the pop shot hoop?
Yeah, other than popping threes. If you had to go play.
Oh, like me myself?
You yourself.
And none is not an option?
Play.
I was, as a kid, the best sport for me was basketball.
Okay.
As an adult, God, I don't know. Wiffle ball, does that count?
Yes. Yeah, don't you wish there was an adult wiffle ball league? Yeah.
We should start a wiffle ball league at the station, play in the side yard there.
I
mean, I know there's probably a danger of electrocution over there, but still.
I had one. We had a website and everything. It was like 1998. I formed a wiffle ball league. I built a stadium in our backyard. I killed like 90% of the plant life in my mom's backyard. Built a wiffle ball stadium and put up a website. And then it was awesome. And then kids started bringing over beer and smoking and stuff like that. My parents said, yeah. This isn't going to happen
anymore. Didn't you say the website was still up? Because I think I checked
it
once.
I think you can get it. You have to Google search. I don't think there is a direct link anymore. You have to Google search Trumbull Wiffle Ball League.
Okay.
Now, and weren't you also a backyard wrestling champion?
I was, yeah. We were around the same era. Drake Triumph was my wrestler name. And we had a backyard wrestling league. And then Greg Sanfinandre separated his shoulder. So there was no more backyard wrestling league after that.
Mm. Isn't there still like backyard wrestling on YouTube where you can like people just beat the shit out of each other?
I'm sure that's a whole another wormhole you can go down, like spring break fights. Did his mom come over when he separated his shoulder?
We were at his house.
Oh,
so yeah, he was right there.
Did he cry like a bitch when he separated his shoulder?
And it was a great match. You know what I mean? Because it was real pain. He wasn't having to sell it. He was actually in a lot of pain. So we were like, dude, this is awesome. Like this is the best in BY Dub history. The best match. And then we come to find out that he's like really seriously hurt.
BY Dub backyard wrestling.
We used to play two hand touch football in our backyard, and we're playing, and J-Mo, Jeff Moore, was walking back to the line of scrimmage, and his brother, for no reason, just comes up from behind him, tackles him, he falls to the ground, starts screaming in pain, and Jeff Moore was known for faking injuries and for attention, so we all walk over to him, and everyone's like, you're fine, get up, and he's like, I can't move my leg, and I see a bone moving around in his leg, and I was like, I think he's really hurt. And everyone's like, no, he's fine. So we make him just get up, go lay on the stairs while we finish the game. He's like, can someone call my dad? And we're like, yeah, sure. So we call his dad. He won't be there for another, like, hour and a half. So he comes over. My mom comes out. She knows that he fakes injuries all the time. And he's like, can I have a glass of milk, Mrs. Vibbert? And she goes, no, you're fine. Turns out, snapped his femur. And he had to have plates and screws put in there. Yeah.
Oh.
It was a real bad injury, which a femur,
it's hard to break. Is it one of those injuries where most people don't live when they break that bone or something?
Probably.
Right? One of those deals? Right?
It was nasty.
Ugh. I can't imagine.
So that was backyard football at the Vibberts.
Are you suffering through the NFL offseason like Vibbert and I are, or are you okay with basketball and stuff like that?
I'm such a college basketball nut that I'm okay.
Are you really?
I'll start really suffering in a couple of weeks here.
Yeah. I just can't. I don't know.
It's tough. The summer's tough.
Baseball is one of those. I mean, baseball and hockey to me are like, if you're there in person, it's great. But I just, unless it's the World Series. I got to be honest. I got on that Cubs bandwagon this last playoff because they came back. So
you got to be somewhere where it matters, baseball and hockey.
Yeah.
If you're not, and Indiana is not where either of those sports matter. So in the Northeast, it was a huge deal. Like my friends and I, the Mets, Red Sox, Yankees thing was, I mean, we trash talk all the time. Baseball was huge, and now you come out here and it's like people couldn't possibly care less.
Yeah, there's a lot of Cubs, a lot of Reds fans.
Yeah, some scattered
around.
But this is a football and hoops city, for sure.
I just can't stand, we were talking about how the NBA season's too long. MLB, why do you need 162 games to decide?
Well, that's the thing about the NFL. If there's any season that should be longer, it's not. And I realize the physical toll, especially now with how big everybody is and how fast everybody is fast. Like that Miles, I keep wanting to say Garrett or Jared, I forget what.
The linebacker?
Yeah,
Garrett. He's like, from A&M?
Yeah, he's like 4'6", 4", and he goes 270 or something. Yeah. Jesus. But, I mean, if you could add, like, you know, we all know that coaches, two preseason games is enough. Add two games of the regular season. And, I mean, because you can, you know, go 0-3 and you're done, you know? I mean,
yeah.
But 162 games. I don't know how, let alone the NBA with 82 games and meaningless regular season. I mean, Major League Baseball, good Lord.
The NFL numbers are so perfect, though, how you play. You know, your division twice.
I want more games.
And but NFL is brilliant when they added bye week.
And no foreign games.
They don't do any extra games, but you get an extra week of TV, which is an extra week of revenue. So I could see them adding a bye.
It's not broke, don't fix it kind of thing.
Did you hear?
32 is perfect, I think.
Did you hear that they're going to float? And, well, you know how they do this? They release it to the media and they see how it goes and then check out the reaction. That coaches are going to be allowed to question any call. That's their next.
Yeah. I also saw, which is crazy, right? You can't slow these games down any more than they already slowed down.
You know?
I also saw, which I'm actually in favor of, that if you, I never understood, if you win a challenge, shouldn't you keep the challenge?
Every time.
And so they're talking about letting, if you win the challenge, you get to keep them. So you don't only have two.
Instead of just not charging you a timeout.
Well, you only would have two, so if you burn them, even if you won both, you're out of challenges.
Right.
So in this case, if you keep winning, you keep getting challenges.
At one time, was it if you won two challenges, you got a third?
I think you're right. I remember
that. Is that right?
I think so.
That's how it is.
I don't remember that.
I don't remember that.
If it did, then
maybe
they've tweaked with it.
Yeah, okay, now it sounds to me like a game show. If you Because I think Jay Gruden's on a string. I don't remember him ever winning a challenge, as far as I'm concerned. They just – I don't know. I think there's incredible Redskins bias. Maybe that's me.
It's a long offseason, though. I mean, you got to – at least you have, like, the combine and free agency, and it stays in the news.
Do you watch the combine like I did?
I don't get that into it, no. There was a time where I did, but – you know, I would be talking about, well, his shuttle run is 4.1.
Do you know what the NFL Network is doing on Sundays now? They are rerunning the Red Zone channel. Like last week, or a couple weeks ago, they started week one.
Just like, from the season?
Last week was it starts at 1 o'clock, ends at 7. It's all the games, like as God, if whatever
sad.
Those games were. And I guess this Sunday, the third week, it will be the third week of 2016 season. I mean, I you know, I'll watch. Boy, that is a great feature on the NFL Network app. You can watch all the Super Bowls your team has been involved in, and it's all right there. You just click on it.
I'll watch that.
You watch old Super Bowl. Do you watch old Super Bowl?
Yeah.
I do. The great thing about the Giants ones is that most of them are in HD. So,
oh, yeah.
Yeah. Unlike the
I feel like that was a
teams.
Low blow.
Yeah, I think that was a low blow to a Redskins fan because 17, 22, and 26, the ones we've won, I don't think 26 is even in I don't think that's an HD.
Oh, probably not.
No,
HD would have been what, late 90s? Very late 90s?
Yeah.
No, 26 was 90, 91, 92. I tell you what, 26, if you watch 26, it was so long ago that there are hardly any commercial. It's almost nothing is sponsored. Like
and it's
it is
only
now.
It's only a four camera shoot. There's like virtually no cameras in it.
I don't know what I'm going to do to cause you pain, but there's
no. What? I'm just saying, nowadays they have like 75 cameras.
But it's I think it was Madden Summerall did 26.
Oh sure, I bet, yeah.
I think if I'm not, you know, remember at halftime they used to do some SNL involved skits. I feel like I remember, and there was one where they stuck Chris Farley in a cheese fry bin, like instead of grab the dollars, grab the cheese fries. And I want to say that was at halftime of the Redskins Bills Super Bowl. I might be getting my years mixed up.
Oh, they don't. No, they can the complete games. They just No commercials. And
so they skip through
they
all
skip
that.
Through
okay,
the halftime. Yeah. So I tell you what, one of the, I think it's the Redskins Vikings NFC Championship game for Super Bowl. It must have been 22. I forget which one, but it was the morning after Jimmy the Greek was recorded saying some unfortunate things, and Brent Musburger is apologizing on the Redskins Vikings broadcast saying poor Jimmy's not going to be with us anymore.
So awkward.
Yeah. You remember that's the one where Daryl Green knocks the ball away. You remember that.
Absolutely. Yeah, Daryl Green. What a workhorse. He could play today, right?
All I know is he ran a 4.740 at 50 years old. That's all I know. Actually, it might have been faster than that, now that I think about it. Giants didn't have anybody that fast. Did they?
LT, the most dominant defensive player perhaps in league history. You know, no big deal. No big deal.
Well, you know he ran all fast, though, because he was on that cocaine.
Oh, yeah.
Have you read the Boys Will Be Boys, this Cowboys book?
No.
It's from the Super Bowl.
Early 90s?
The triplets and all the, that junk. And
Is it like a tell-all?
Yeah.
Oh, I haven't even heard of this.
It's like 1,400 pages of sex, drugs, and whatever thing, the White House and all that stuff.
Didn't Nate Newton get pulled over with like a tractor trailer full of weed like a couple of years ago?
Well, no, wasn't it? He said it was a duffel bag full of pot in the trunk, and he goes, yeah, this is my car, that's my bag, but that's not my weed, or something like that. Yeah, that's how he got out of it, I guess. Or so. Well, I mean, he did go to jail, though, but still, we can sit here and make fun of Cowboys all day long if you want. That would be fun.
They're great. You know, they haven't played in a conference championship game in 21 years, Dallas.
Oh, my God.
It's a great stat. I bring it up all the time. It's wonderful.
You know, even I felt bad when Romo fumbled that snap against the Seahawks.
That was pretty rough.
Yeah, that's a rough one.
That was pretty rough.
What do you make of him not I guess technically, no, he hasn't been let go by the Cowboys yet, right?
No.
They're probably waiting for the draft.
Somebody'll give something.
There are those who say why isn't Colin Kaepernick caught on? But others say the real mystery is why hasn't Tony Romo been signed by another? And I'll tell you why. He's 37 and
made of balsa wood.
He's brittle. You know,
well,
right?
And teams know that the Cowboys aren't going to keep him, so they're waiting. I think they're waiting for him to be released,
or
to be like, hey, we'll give you a 6-round pick or something,
right?
Whatever it is. But Romo's career is so funny because I think like 30 years ago, we've become so obsessed with rings and. You know, win a championship or you suck. Like Reggie Miller would never be appreciated in this era. He would be the guy that never won. Romo's had this really nice career, but he's known for being a loser, really.
Because he played at the Cowboys. Because expectations are so high.
Yeah, I think that's true. And the flops have been, the missed snap.
Yeah.
But wouldn't it be awesome if he went to a place like Denver or dare I say even like a Houston and he won a Super Bowl?
No. Not if he went to Denver.
To kind of stick it to the Cowboys.
Anything to stick to the
Cowboys. That would be big story.
I would love that.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, like, look at Phillip Rivers. Phillip Rivers has had a really great career, and he hasn't won anything, but he doesn't get the shit that Romo gets.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great. Perfect example.
Houston makes the most sense for Romo, right? I mean, I think people get
that,
hung
that
up
roster's
on...
roster's stacked.
Yeah, I think people get hung up on the Denver thing because of Peyton Manning, and they figure... But Romo... isn't Peyton Manning, right?
Romo, I would argue at this point, is probably going to be a better player if he stays healthy, which is a big if, than Manning was that last year. That last year, my God, that was like...
Yeah,
he only played...
It was like watching somebody kick your dog. I mean, it was bad.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden, he wins the Super Bowl.
Defense, baby.
Yeah, well, and that's Houston's, that defense.
Yep.
JJ will be back.
And Clowney's finally
he's a
figured it out, so... What's on the agenda for the Jake Query, Derek Schultz extravaganza? Anything coming up that we should know about?
Well, we'll be drying up the tears from Purdue fans probably after that game last night. We'll talk Butler today with their big game against Carolina. And then kind of a cool story here locally, Crispus Attucks, where Oscar Robertson played, is in the state championship. They haven't won since 1959. And... kind of a neat story for that school and all the history and heritage that they have here in Indy. They were a middle school for like 25 years, and then they recently became a high school again. Now they're back in the state final. So we're going to have their head coach on, which I think will be a cool – and we might have Big O on. Query actually called him. And I was like, how do you even start a conversation with him? Hello, Big O? Like, I don't even know how you start a conversation
with somebody
like that.
In the back studio, probably 12, 13 years ago.
He was in the studio. He has gigantic hands. Yeah. I remember that.
Not the most personable guy, is he?
He's kind of got a reputation for being a little bit bristly. Testy.
Yeah. A little cool, but he averaged a triple-double. So.
No, goodness. Are you kidding me? Now, you and Jake just signed a two-year extension? Yes?
Jake did, yeah.
Jake
just signed a two-year extension. We have our contracts staggered.
Which is really weird. Like 6 months apart?
Yeah. I've got some like option or something like that. And they're like, you know, you could have your lawyer look over it. And I'm like, you know, generally when you guys just hand me a contract, I just say, keep me employed.
This sounds like the Romo thing to me a little bit.
So we'll see. We'll see how that goes.
What's the website for you guys?
Foxsports975.com and at Schultz975 on Twitter.
He's a great follow, especially if you like sports or not. But he's not just like, so-and-so happened. He has good takes. With humor.
Very funny.
And very funny, but very informed. Very, very informed. If I only followed one person in sports, honestly, it would be Derek.
Is that right?
No, absolutely. There's nobody else that gives you a little bit of humor, but along with some actually, you know, I hate the word take, you know, like you have a good take on stuff, but you actually have a reasonable, you know, within 140 characters on how to describe what's going on rather than just saying the
score and the time.
The score and the time.
I am a little bit worried about Twitter because, you know, eventually it's going to end and I held on to MySpace until like 3 years ago.
Yeah.
So I'm worried about, you know, I'm so obsessed with it. It's the first thing I check in the morning, literally.
It's going to be around longer than people. Yeah.
I think there are more people, you know, there aren't as many people on Twitter as you think. I think it's the opposite. I think there are more people on Twitter than
that are
think
just
there.
Looking, not saying a word, liking, not tweeting. I mean, I know I get 90% of my news from Twitter.
Yeah.
Breaking news, especially. Ahead of everything.
What's hot right now, young blood? Is it Snapchat?
Snapface. Yep.
But that's basically Snapchat, replacing texting for younger people.
Well, apparently Snapchat's about to be gone.
What do you mean? They just had an IPO.
No. Facebook bought Instagram, and now Instagram is doing everything that Snapchat can do, except for the face filters. Like where you can.
Facebook is scary, people.
Facebook's buying everything.
They're buying everything. They're controlling everything. Be aware.
I'm 34, and I've never felt as old as I did when I was trying to figure out Snapchat.
I don't get it.
I don't know what it is about Snapchat, but I cannot grasp it either.
It's dumb.
It's not very user friendly, to be honest. Yeah.
Like Instagram, it's so easy, bang, bang, boom. Yep. Twitter's easy. I don't
Snapchat, I'm like, who's seeing this? And do I send it to everybody? Is that weird if
Do I put it on my story or do I not put it on my story? And
even Instagram has stories now. Yeah. So you can do that on Instagram. Yeah.
But it's like, there's a little outline of a ghost. Like, I click on that. What does that do? Oh, it takes me to this screen. Like, it doesn't tell you what to do.
Did you hear that Snapchat's original, that's why they have a ghost logo? The original name was like Boo Pics or something.
Really? I'm making that up? I swear.
Chick, I don't know if you knew this. Last night,
I know less
on right before the Purdue game on national TV, CBS, this happened.
What? I don't hear anything.
He's had a ton of good players that have come through there, but Caleb Swanigan, pretty much a consensus five-star player. This might be their most heralded recruit since Glenn Robinson. Yeah.
Who the heck was that?
That was Derek.
Was that Derek Schultz?
I freaked out.
On CBS television?
They had a nice piece on Biggie, Caleb Swanigan, and within that, they had a shot of like Mackie or Inside Mackie or something. And that was Derek.
Did it show a picture of him?
No, nothing. Didn't even credit, no name,
credit
nothing.
Or anything.
We were watching with the sound off, and I was like, this looks like it's a really good piece. Like, I wish I could hear this.
They probably did something at the very end. I was like, Fox Sports 975, Corian Schultz.
Yeah. Oh, man. Well, that's cool.
It was cool. Night. The best part was that they didn't play anything for Jake.
Yes.
was not insightful enough.
And that was your tweet even said there was audio from us or we had audio or something. I'm like, it was just you.
Yeah.
There's no we.
They'd asked me about a month ago. They're like, do you have any Swanigan stuff from when he flipped from Michigan State to Purdue? Right. And I had to dig and finally found something and sent it over to him.
So who's your national champion, men's basketball?
God, I picked Carolina, so I guess I could stick with that because they're actually still alive. But I had them beating Arizona. So at this point...
Because Carolina lost last year, right? That's who Villanova
they got
beat
at the buzzer. Yeah. So at this point, I'll take Carolina over. I'm trying to think of that half of the bracket.
Gonzaga, Baylor, South Carolina, Florida, Wisconsin.
Yeah. God, maybe Carolina, Florida Xavier in the final? I don't want to pick Gonzaga in my final.
Why not? A personal thing?
Put Xavier in there.
Florida. No, I don't want to go on that far of a limb. Carolina wins it all. I'm going to take the easy way out.
All right.
But is it probably going to be Carolina, Kansas?
That'll be a Final Four game, though,
that'll be
I believe.
A semifinal. Yeah.
Yeah, see, that you get in the. I'm just going to say I think UCLA is going to win the national championship. There you go. What do you think? Who do you like, Jason?
I mean, the way I saw Kansas play last night, good Lord. But I think they're very similar to North Carolina, so they're going to take each other out. I don't know. Wisconsin.
Vibbert?
Well, in the work.
Did you just say Wisconsin?
That's right.
In the work pool that we have, I have North Carolina left, and I have Xavier. I'm picking Xavier because I'm ride or die for Xavier. They've made me $20.
Speaking of riding, isn't it time you checked out TrueCar.com?
Yes.
Huh? 13,000 dealers, 3 million cars sold, 700,000 pre-owned vehicles available, average savings of over $3,000 when you use TrueCar.com. You can easily find the car you want. TrueCar shows you what other people in your area paid for the car you want, so you aren't out in your driveway washing your brand new car and your neighbor comes over and go, what you got there? Well, fill in the blank paid so much less for that. What happened? That doesn't happen at TrueCar. Once you register, you'll see real pricing on actual inventory. Competitive pricing offered to you only by a TrueCar certified dealer for an actual vehicle on their lot. It's pricing you'll see before going to the dealership so you can feel confident when you show up. TrueCar, connect with the local certified dealer of your choosing so you enjoy a quick, easy buying experience. Is there anything that makes your stomach hurt more than going and buying a new car? Not anymore. Yeah, once you hook up with TrueCar.com. And once again, users save an average of over $3,000 off the manufacturer's suggested retail price. TrueCar shows their customers all their available incentives before they arrive at the dealership. Over 3 million cars sold. Is that Hanson in the background? Over 3 million cars sold to TrueCar dealers. And you can, all of the TrueCars come with radios that'll play Hanson. I guess
capable of playing.
13,000 TrueCar certified dealers nationwide. Go to TrueCar.com. Thank you for listening to the Chick McGee podcast. That's Jason. That's Jeff. Thank you, Derek Schultz.
Thanks, guys.
Jake will be on. Well, I don't know if Jake Corey's going to be on. We'll have to think about that for a second.
He's got stories, though, man.
Yeah, he really does have stories.
You would eat up all your time.
Yeah, we just you just say we walk
not
out.
A great candidate.
Then we just
show.
Walk out, and he could talk with him. Okay.
And you didn't know him at all before working with him.
No.
Is that right?
No,
zero.
Just threw us in there together.
That's amazing, and it's worked.
Fox Sports 97.5 and 1260 WNDE every afternoon starting at 3. Jake and
on
Derek.
The iHeart radio app.
And the iHeart radio.
You can listen to it anywhere.
You can listen to that anywhere. That's exactly good call, Jason. Thanks, everybody, for listening to the Chick McGee Show on Podcast One. Good night, everybody!
Is your basement or garage full of old house paint that you know you'll never use? I know mine is. Avocado green, hot pink, antique white. That is a nice shade of white, though. You know, it's easy to recycle your leftover paint, stain, and varnish all over California. Most paint care drop-off locations are paint and hardware stores that take back leftover paint. Keep what you need and recycle the rest. Find a drop-off site near you at paintcare.org.
Virginia buries its dead. I'm Rita Foley with an AP News Minute. Virginia Governor Terry McAuliffe is talking about President Trump's response to the violence in Charlottesville over the weekend at a white supremacist rally.
Those remarks are dividing people. We cannot be dividing people.
Governor McAuliffe told CBS this morning he knows two of the three people who were killed that day.
I have lost three great citizens yesterday, Heather Heyer's funeral. Tomorrow we will have to put to rest Trooper Burke Bates, who had been part of my executive protection detail. And then on Saturday, Lieutenant Jay Cullen, who'd been my pilot. This breaks your heart.
Heather Heyer died when a car rammed a group of protesters. The two Virginia state troopers were killed while monitoring the rally when their helicopter went down. Prison visitations are off at a state facility or all state facilities in Florida, where they say they have credible intelligence indicating some sort of security threat. There are no details available yet. I'm Rita Foley.